At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded.
So, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome, slightly delayed, to the CompuGroup conference call for the first quarter 2016. This is Christian Teig calling from Koblenz, and I will take you through a presentation. It's the normal format, which will be followed by a Q&A session. The presentation is available for download from our website, or you can watch it online through the online tool following the link which was attached to the invitation that you hopefully have received. I expect that the presentation part will take about 15 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, and then, as I said, we will get into a question and answer session. And along the way, I will try to reference the page number in the presentation so that it can be followed whether you look on the online version or if you flip through it by yourself. So we will start this by the slide numbered 2. This is the key figures for the first quarter. As you see here, we have a flattish top line, 2% change, a decent 1.6% margin increase on the EBITDA line. And below EBIT, it's basically all driven by changes in currency exchange rate. We had a large gain on financial income last year in Q1 because of the rapid strengthening of the dollar. Basically, the best way to look on the quarter's performance is to look from revenue and down to EBIT. We will now step through the normal housekeeping items. This is now slide numbered 3, where we see back from 2001 the revenue and profitability as expressed in EBITDA percent margin. And basically, first quarter 2016, the highlight would be the margin development. It is actually the highest margin we've had since 2012, and hopefully this, and how we plan and see it, is that we are now on a sustainable growing margin trajectory, and as such, we had a good start to 2016, and we will get back to some of the reasons behind this, but it's obviously driven by the revenue mix and that we had a good start to the year in our high margin business areas. Brings us to slide number 4. These are the cost of goods and gross margin. We can only say, I mean, the key word here is that strategy and execution is unchanged and that we are 100% consistent and loyal to our business model, which is pretty much frozen at the 80% gross margin based on the revenue we generate from the products and services we sell. So this is an unchanged picture, which for us is a positive thing. Moving then to slide number 5, the personnel expenses. We are at, if you look at this chart, you will see 14 and 15, a relatively stable picture, kind of in the 250 to 260 million euro annual run rate. And that's, you know, save for some quarterly fluctuations where we are also in this quarter, 4% up. Half of that is driven by personnel expenses in new companies acquired. And other than that, if you also look into the headcount picture, it's a very stable picture. And we now try to drive growth based on the cost base that we currently have. And again, a picture of that is to see how the personnel expenses develop, and this is 100% consistent with how the business is currently being run. Brings us to slide number 6. These are the other expenses. That means all other operating expenses except for personnel expenses. We see them always in relationship to personal expenses, and in this quarter we are at a very normal level. That means around 30%, 35% of personal expenses. The preceding two quarters, we always have slightly higher costs in the fourth quarter. That's mirroring also the higher revenue. Third quarter last year, obviously, we had some special costs related to provisions in the Gematik project. But again, we're now back to a normal quarter, and these costs are well under control. Brings us to slide 7, operating cash flow. There is always, and we see that on this picture, a seasonality where cash generation is high in the first quarter based on pre-invoicing of software maintenance. This effect is slightly subdued this year as most of the businesses that have pre-invoicing, that would be the Scandinavian businesses in the Netherlands, all have the transition to our new group-wide ERP CRM system, meaning that invoices are basically 1 to 2 months later than in a normal year, that cash will come in basically in the second quarter and not in the first quarter. We had a little bit of the same effect last year when we did Italy. That year, as we expect this year, it all normalized during the course of the year. And again, it's a short-term transitory effect following the cleanup that we are doing in internal systems. And again, should all normalize in the next 3 to 6 months. Slide number 8, capital expenditure. Significantly lower than last year. The only thing in terms of M&A is that we did a small bolt-on in Denmark, Nibit. I will get back to that. We still are slightly higher on intangibles than, say, in a steady state, but it's significantly lower than Q1 last year, and that's basically the wind-down of the investments done in SAP licenses and customizing of the group-wide ERP CRM system, which means that this figure that we see here is roughly is a fairly steady long-term run rate. The cash outflow for the joint venture is some investments that we've done in the JV together with AXA, the private insurance. But again, other than that, CapEx is at a fairly low level in this quarter, which is good. Brings us to slide number 9, the balance sheet here relative to where it was 3 months ago. Very few changes. We see that certainly on the asset side, a little bit more cash. Hardly any change on the non-current assets, which are mostly intangibles. And then debt a little bit down, as we did generate cash in the first quarter. Some changes to other liabilities, which are the prepayments, which are just deferred, and a little bit more equity from the profits. Other than that, a stable picture as everyone should expect. So those were the financial topics and highlights. We now start to go through the different business areas, starting with software for doctors. The slide of substance is numbered 11. Here we see the doctor software development. Not a strong top line, which are explained somewhat more in the bullets. Clearly, in the areas of hardware sales and professional services, which is not big but still has a component, we saw quite a steep reduction compared to last year. One effect which we predominantly see in the northern parts of Europe is that Easter is taken seriously. And this year, all of it fell into Q1, whereas last year, all of it basically fell into Q2. So that is a difference. And overall, certainly, it wasn't a strong year also if you look at the broader environment in the IT industry in terms of worldwide PC shipments. So fairly weak on hardware sales and the related professional services. Luckily, I guess these are not high margin business areas for us in the core of our business model, software maintenance and other recurring. The growth was good and as expected. And there are always some variations on our beloved Gematik project. This quarter slightly lower than Q1 last year. But all in all, a decent development, we would say, in the doctor software development area. And with those explanations, we see that as a good and solid start to the year. Brings us to slide number 12. I know that we have been in contact with many of your listeners today, whether it's investors or analysts, around this topic. And the first bullet is important in the sense that we have a customer, the organization called Gematik, who is actually the only one that can officially express in official information related to the progress and status of the project. We expect them to shortly come out with such a status report, which would be good. And in the meantime, everyone should know that everyone involved, that means industry, including us, testing organizations, the Federal Office for Information Security, the Ministry of Health, with the minister himself involved, really collaborate and work to make sure that all, say, deadlines and goals stated in the e-health law get translated into reality. But again, for specific information, we just all have to wait for that statement to come from Gematik. In the meantime, we do what we do, and the latest public display that we were allowed and that we did was at the Comhead Trade Fair recently, a few weeks ago in April in Berlin, where we did show all our components working together, doing the core basic service of the Gematik infrastructure, the SDM service. This was now the third time we did it, and it actually marked exactly the 1 year anniversary from when we did it the first time. So the last 12 months has been a lot of work in certifying, documenting, testing, improving all these components. But they have actually been put to use and worked together for more than a year now. So I guess we hope that all of these efforts now will funnel into the tail end and completion of this pilot project. That's in the interest of all stakeholders, so that we can move on to the rollout, which is, of course, key interest for everyone. Slide 13, I mentioned a small acquisition in Denmark. This is a typical bolt-on. We have already a good market position in the market for physical therapy and psychology in Denmark, and we basically bought one of our competitors. It's a small business, but it's a nice addition and a business that we very much can manage and build on within our current Danish organization. Is a market that we certainly hold in high regard. Many of you will know that it is the market where we have the highest revenue per customer. So this is a good incremental positive for our development in Denmark and in our Scandinavian markets in general. Those were the highlights in our software for doctor business. Brings us now into software for pharmacies. The slide of substance here is slide number 15. It doesn't get flatter than this. We are talking about the same effect here as we saw in the doctor software business. Slightly weak in terms of hardware, other than that, or normal. In end effect, this means completely flat, 22 million euros. This business is developing well. There will always be some quarterly fluctuation, but we see this fully on track to reach the growth targets that we have set for this year. If we move to hospitals, it's actually exactly the same story. That would be slide number 17, flat Q1. It's important to state that our German-speaking markets are developing well. We had good growth also in our Austrian business based on already contracted project revenue. Some of you might remember that we won a fairly large tender last year, which began to produce revenue this year. This is the Vorarlberg contract in Austria. In the other direction, we see a weak development, especially in Poland, where I guess the new regime and the public sector there has basically stopped a lot of the activities and projects that previously fueled growth. Other markets in Eastern Europe we also see as weak. They are smaller compared to our German-speaking markets, and altogether a flat revenue development, which was our target for this year. Goal here is obviously to now build references and momentum around our next generation product, the G3 HIS product, and that is predominantly deployed in the first wave in the German-speaking markets of Austria, Switzerland, and Germany, and that is performing well. Which brings us to our HCS segment, which was the highlight of the quarter. Both in communication data and workflow and decision support. Slide 18 shows the historical development in revenue in communication and data. Revenue is very important here, as this is a business with very high operational leverage. Costs are mostly fixed. 14% year-on-year growth, slightly stronger than how we have planned the year. We know that we had a very strong finish to last year, Q4, and some of that actually propelled us into Q1 this year also. It's a very consistent build of this business based on more and more revenue from the research originator companies, and a solid growing start to the year in our communication data business. Same picture we see in workflow and decision support, slide number 19. Here there was a big step up on the German side of the business, which came in Q3 last year. So we get more or less the maximum year-on-year development in Q1 and Q2 this year. Two areas to highlight. One is the card trust contract, where we find actually at the beginning of 2015, contracts with additional health insurance companies in Germany. They came into production second half of the year. They are still with us. They are long-term contracts. And then we have revenue from private insurance, joint venture with AXA, both bringing us to levels of revenue here in Germany that we haven't seen for many, many years. So that's a very positive thing, and hopefully a momentum we can bring into the business development that we anticipate to come when telematic infrastructure and networking in Germany starts to come into play. So that, if you really wanted to highlight the best performance we did in Q1 2016, this would be it, slide number 19, workflow and decision support. Exciting stuff. So altogether, summarizing it, this is slide 20. This was a good start to the year, slightly lower on revenue maybe than what you mathematically would calculate. Hopefully that's well explained. Slightly higher probably on EBITDA than what you normally would calculate, but those are normal quarterly fluctuations. All in all, this is consistent with our plans for 2016, and we are restating the guidance which was issued, I guess, only a few weeks ago when we published the annual report. And just to remind ourselves that even though from the law written, rolling out of the telematics infrastructure will start in July. There will be a ramp-up period, and clearly from what we observe in the project, there is still some uncertainty exactly when volume deliveries will happen. We already took this on the safe side when we did the guidance, and have included none of this revenue in these numbers that you here see. Having said that, we have taken all the costs in, so that should take out any potential surprises coming from this. We still think that the important goal and focus area for this is to see that we get high volumes of deliveries in 2017. We'll take as much and get as much as we can this year, but those figures potentially would then be on top of the numbers that you see. Again, the key word is unchanged. Yes, this is the checkpoint as reported on May 4th. In terms of financial calendar, this is now slide 21. Yes, we have the constitutional highlight of the year. This is our AGM on May 18th. Always shareholders and other interested parties are always welcome to come to Koblenz, to our headquarters, and attend the AGM. For those who do not give that priority, the next checkpoint will be our interim report for Q2, which will be in the beginning of August, and we follow in this calendar very much the normal cycle that we have kept for many, many years now. That concludes the prepared and slide-based part of this presentation. We now are into the Q&A session. I know that we had slight technical problems, but I get a thumbs up now, which means they have been solved in the course of my presentation. That means that you can press star 1 to indicate your interest to post questions, and you will then be taken into the conference call in a sequence. So based on the thumbs up, we are waiting for the first question. There are certain signs, unfortunately, here that our beloved and up until today, picture perfect web-based tool from an unnamed telecom operator has decided, I get a second thumbs up. We try. Here I hear someone live. Please, question.
Hi, Christian. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Gunnar. Thank you.
Okay.
Good to hear your voice.
No, it was taking such a long time, but it's fine. All right. Basically, obviously, you mentioned in terms of, you know, the Gematik will come up with a comment on the current status quo and how they will follow. What is your feeling? What there will be their statement?
Ooh. I don't have feelings, Gunnar. But I mean, there are clearly, I mean, you cannot hold a trade fair like the COMHIT, which basically puts together everyone who can walk and talk in healthcare and healthcare IT in Germany in one single place without having informal talks and rumors. And some of them found their ways into newspapers and trade magazines. And, you know, I think they high, you know, those topics, I would say, are the topics to discuss. You know, are you going to change the car readers or not? And if so, how radical will the redesign have to be? And when can that be finished? You know, at some point, you have to decide. and say that. I don't see that as being, you know, that's not a feeling. I don't see that as being, in the overall picture, important. Yes, you may have to do a little bit with the casing, and maybe that actually merits that you change the hardware and not just the firmware. Doesn't really matter. You know, you'll be able to redesign that fairly quickly, and move on, say, well within being ready. You know, but that's not, so I think that I don't see that as critical. I would just prefer to get that out into the air. And then the second thing which is discussed is, you know, as soon as, you know, somebody says we've tested enough and we've certified enough these devices, which have now been operational for a long time, we will start on, say, the official pilot period. And the official pilot period in the project is 6 months. This will, so whenever this is announced, and Gematik has to announce when this starts. And then you have the second follow-up question is, okay, how long will you go before you branch out and say, we've done sufficient testing and we can start to roll out and then kind of complete the pilot, the parallel to the start of the rollout period? And again, you know, is 1 day enough? Probably not. You have to go the full 6 months? Probably not. It's somewhere in between, a reasonable assumption. I don't know. But again, it's a decision that soon has to be made. And I think once it comes out, the coming schedule should be fairly transparent and clear. This is our expectation. That's not a feeling. And then it would be certainly every piece of work, planning, cooperation, compromising, and say cross-helping of all stakeholders involved are doing everything to not change the overall deadlines and milestones which are written into the law. So, I mean, nobody wants, you know, that's not on the table, which means we have to figure out how to do this, all of us together, from the industry to the Gematik, so that we stay within the timeline prescribed in the law for rollout. So those would be as bold as I dare to be, in a sense, state, if not the obvious, but how we see it, but still leaving specific status reports from the project to the official statement of the project customer, which is enough.
Okay, thank you. I mean, you are basically ready. How ready is T-System for the pilot project?
I will not comment on that, but I will say that at the COMHIT, we showed very openly, and we did have the minister visiting our booth and doing his demonstration, and T-Systems decided to not do it in this context. But again, it's also not, it's not fair for us to speculate where they are, and they should make their own statement. I think we've been bold enough to say that they appear to be behind us. That's probably an unchanged picture. How much? I think it's not for us to say. But we also said at the very, very final stretch, they have some ability to speed up, which we don't, because they run their own certifying agency, and we use an outsourced provider, the Tisfinland, for that, which means they can control resources and accelerate the final stretch more than us. But at the end of the day, we do not see the two regional pilots to be dramatically different in terms of their timeline. But I hope we are a little bit ahead of them.
Okay, and final question. What is the lead time for the connector? So once they have been kind of finally decided on how it will look like, how long it will take for the industry really then to produce connectors which you can then basically start the rollout?
That's, I would say, we talked some weeks. It's not a lot. Keep in mind that the bulk of the hardware are off-the-shelf components, and those that have produced, you know, the limited run production runs for the pilot are able to scale up, you know, multiples of production lines. These are high-scale, highly sophisticated, flexible hardware producers in Austria. And I don't know if it's 3 or 6 weeks, but it's a relatively short ramp-up because we have all prepared for this. So we don't see that as a bottleneck in the current time planning.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Christian, it's Uwe from Deutsche.
Hi, Uwe.
Two questions, please. Hey, two questions, please. Firstly, on the core business and the relatively slow start, maybe, in terms of growth rates. Is another reason potentially for that as well that, I don't know, you know, something like pent-up demand is building, i.e., you know, in and around the Gematik project? In other words, doctors are simply insistent to buy today as they know that they will have to buy, you know, significant amount of stuff and software in the coming quarters, or are they usually not that forward-thinking, if you will? And then secondly, on your on the first question that was asked on the call, do you also see, let me be as general as possible and so that you are in a state to answer the question, is it possible to see a test region start earlier than another one? Because so far, as I understand it from the law, it is really the target always was to have the test region start at the same point in time, i.e. could that be different, assuming that one party is a few months ahead of the other one? And just in order to make the rollout, happen at in a more timely manner, and in accordance with the law, could that be a scenario as well? Thank you.
So to the first question, whether there is a correlation between the relatively, say, slow top line and what's going on in Germany, the short answer is no. A, because we actually see this hardware and related services more in market. The Netherlands, for example, was probably where we had the largest effect. A little bit also in the market like Denmark, Sweden, mostly done on professional services. Not so much, a little bit in Germany also, as we have now our direct channel dealers who also do a certain element of hardware business. But the short answer is no. We see more, say, no, probably still a little bit of, from the big replacement of servers and infrastructure products related to the phasing out of Windows XP, that made that market somewhat weak last year, and for some reason this quarter probably wasn't very strong. You could see it in the report from Microsoft. And then the Easter effect, which sounds very trivial, but it is actually true. I mean, if you calculate the number of productive days, there is quite a big difference, and it will typically hurt this type of revenue, and obviously not touch at all other revenue streams like recurring revenue and software maintenance. So the short answer is no. To the second question, I think it's important to clearly separate the pilot project and the contract we have with Gematik and the rollout. So in terms of the pilot project, we have a completely independent contract with a customer called the Gematik, where there shouldn't be any, say, link between that contract and the start of, because we have a contracted timeline which gets adjusted, but that's a bilateral discussion which doesn't involve, say, the other contract, which is completely independent, certainly seen from our side. So we see no link. When we are ready, we will start in the Northwest, and it will not, say, wait or be linked to the other test region. if we then move to the rollout, you know, the rollout is, strictly speaking, completely independent from the pilot, but it does rely on the results and output from the pilot. A, certainly from the distributed components, so Comectra and related software, all of that has to be certified. There will be two such outcomes from the two different contracts. We have the new cards with the card operating systems. You know, it's a total of 9, say, outputs from different tenders which were given in the last few years. How that gets coordinated and finally decided in terms of what when to start is maybe not, it's not only the Gematik who decides that. That's also greatly decided by the Minister of Health. And again, exactly how they, I think it, you know, they have some leeway and discretion on how they plan that. And so far, as I probably said more or less directly in the Bernard's call, we assume that, you know, the completion of these two pilots regions will not be dramatically off. And as long as they're not dramatically off, it's a little bit of an academic question how that influences the start of the rollout. As, you know, the start of a rollout will not be like a marathon, you know, with 200,000 runners and, you know, it's a big shotgun off and everyone goes off. You know, there will be some gradual ramp up. And as I said, as long as they are not wildly off, that's going to find its natural start stretch. If you talk about big differences, you know, hypothetically, say, you know, they come 5 years late, one region comes 5 years later than the other one, just to take an extreme example. You know, you have to decide, do you wait, or do you just move on with, say, output from 8 out of 9 tenders and not from 9 out of 9? You know, hopefully that's just a hypothetical question. And right now we work under the assumption that this is not a difficult decision to say and that the gradual start of rollout activities will follow naturally, say, from the completion of all 9 projects going on the other side.
Well, assuming you can maintain your lead of about 3 months, if that is the number, whatever it is, if it's two or three or four, nobody knows exactly maybe, but I mean, assuming they filed in March, it would suggest a 3 month lead for you at least. And I don't see any reason why you should lose that lead if you start in, say, you know, sometime in Q2 with your pilot. And in other words, how can they really quickly, you know, make up even if they have their own certification agency, because they still need the the result of from their 500 or so customers, don't they?
So, A, I completely agree, and B, I sincerely hope that the main decision makers who will decide on these policy areas will agree. I see it exactly as you. There is, you know, in that order of magnitude, there's absolutely no reason to wait. You would only lose time and say, jeopardize and increase the risk in terms of being finished and completed by the middle of 2018. Start, and then, should not be any issue. That's how I see it, that's how we see it. And let's hope that this would be the logic also seen by the minister and other important people in this whole area.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Hello, it's Andreas Wolf from Warburg Research. A couple of questions from my side. Christian, the first one would be on PC sales versus the development in AIS and PCS. So what's the causal link between the two? Do lower PC sales trigger lower license sales, or are lower PC sales just an expression of overall weak demand? And then a question on AXA and the joint venture you have here. What kind of revenue model is it that you have here? Is it more or less a fixed fee that the customer pays per quarter, or is it transaction or quantity-based? And do we have similar projects in the pipeline as well? Then on HIS, compared to Q1 last year, profitability has increased quite significantly at similar revenue levels. So what's behind this development? And then regarding medical value communication, this kind of business obviously has some interesting and big potential going forward. So how is it developing? Have we just seen the start of what could be a much bigger business, or is it quite sticky business, and is it quite difficult to gain new customers? Maybe you could comment on this. Thank you.
Good. So to the first question, you know, lower PC sales is lower PC sales and really nothing else. So, and the only other revenue stream which has some correlation is professional services, which is just related to the technician installing and commissioning the equipment. It is not related to, the PC sales are just, say, providing a new modern device to an already existing customer. So it's not related to other revenue streams like licenses or recurring or software name. It's just PC sales is PC sales. The AXA joint venture business model has, say, two phases. We are currently in a development phase where we get paid for developing technology. This and technology is based on our CGM Life, say, personal health record concept. And we had this presented a few years ago at our Capital Markets Day when we showed this membership services for private insurance. So basically, we are developing this and get paid for this from AXA. The second phase, which we will begin during this year, is that we will get a usage-based fee or a recurring fee based on the actual use. Stage one, based on AXA-insured people, and then in the joint venture, it will be offered also to other private insurances in Germany. So there lies the longer-term upside and growth to ultimately and hopefully provide these concepts and these services to a broad part of the privately insured people in Germany, which would be something like 20% of the population. So that's, we see a lot of interest from the private insurance now, as they also see the telematics infrastructure as a new, say, era, and that they certainly feel that they need their own initiatives to say, retain the position and the area they have in health insurance in Germany. And as I said, this is really the start, first phase. Is a project revenue transitioning into recurring account-based revenue, hopefully then also going into other private insurances outside AXA. The third question, is profitability up, same revenue? Yeah, then it's only one way. That means costs are down. The weakness we saw in Poland and East Europe started already at the tail end of last year. So we have taken out significant costs there. And we also had, especially in Switzerland last year, higher than normal costs also in terms of external help to stabilize the first early adopters of our G3 hospital project. So that has stabilized itself now, so this year it's much more of a normal, say, productive level of profitability. You know, it still doesn't give us the scale we need to bring it to the level we want, but certainly it is much better than how we started and completed last year. And at the end of the day, it means less people internally, that's mostly in Poland and East Europe, and also less use of external resources, consultants, to say the fire brigade to help out in special projects. At point, medical value communication, is it, you know, only temporary and will it go away? I hope not. Certainly we don't plan for it. As you know, this was also something that we kind of used to rejuvenate HCS now more than 2 years ago, and we now start to see positive results coming out. And we had a very strong Q4, which you sometimes can have, as we typically have an element of customer concentration. So if you find good common ground and say good offerings to some of the large originators, you can have a good quarter. Now we have a second good quarter in a row, Q1. The only caveat is, of course, that there is the element of customer concentration. Many of them are big global pharma industrials. And there will also be periods where they will probably tighten their spending on say, their information, marketing, and sales activities. So it is going to be a business area where there will be more, say, good and not so good periods. So I cannot promise that, you know, it's as predictable and as steadily growing as we see in our HPS 1 and 2 business areas. But certainly if you now look back into the last 2 years, there is a clear positive trend, and we'll certainly do everything we can to keep that going. In terms of what we can offer and what we can do, it's a strong offering with a lot of potential.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, hi. This is Jan from HSBC. Only two questions left for me. First one, a follow-up question on the telematics project. If I have understood correctly, one of the key questions is if they now decide to replace the card readers or not. I was just wondering if you could provide us a bit more color what actually the issues are with the existing card readers and what actually makes you confident that it won't take too long to resolve that issues. And my second question would actually just... I just was wondering if you could update us on your U.S. activities, what has been the growth of the business recently, and maybe also comment on the margin development. Thank you.
So the issue with the card readers, which I guess is a known unofficial truth, is about tamper-proofing. Tamper-proofing means that today's card readers basically have a casing which has screws, so you can unscrew this casing, open it, theoretically fiddle with whatever is inside, close it again, and worst case, you could have skimming equipment or compromise the security by tampering with the device itself. The reason why this is an issue is, it's been chosen a security standard which is two levels above payment systems, and B, a reception area at a healthcare provider in Germany is classified as a non-surveillance zone. So if this was a surveillance zone where you would always have personnel, it wouldn't be an issue. But this is not how it's classified, which means that you need a different type of casing which cannot be opened. And if this is then the issue, you basically have to replace all of the readers out there. Other than that, there is no other issue. So this, again, the issue is tamper-proofing, and to redesign the casing, and to do it in such a way that if you cut the thing open or something, there would be some kind of seal broken, which would render the device unusable. It's not kind of IT-based, it's more, say, bricks and mortar-based. You know, the plastic casing or metal casing needs to be redesigned in some a meaningful way to offer a higher degree of temple cruises. U.S. activities Q1, mostly flat from last year, also margin-wise. It was more or less planned this way. But again, for the full year, it's also based on the business model. It has a lot of recurring revenue components. It's mostly service-based revenue. We had last year roughly 10% operating margin. We've said that it's going to take a significant step up this year based on increasing revenue. But Q1, I guess, wasn't the slam dunk start to the year, but it was fully in line with how we had planned it. And again, we will keep you updated in the coming quarters. What we want to see is solid organic growth year on year in local currency in the U.S. and a significantly higher margin in the U.S. than what we had last year. What does that mean? I guess in plain numbers, if we had 10% last year, we should certainly be 60% higher, something like 15% this year. Then U.S. is on track and performing as we expected to.
Cool. Very helpful. Thank you.
That appears to be all questions. Thank you for your interest. Hopefully the slight technical problems we had with our conference call system were ultimately solved. It appears that way. Then again, thank you for your interest. And some of you we will see on the 18th on the AGM. And for the rest, we will have another checkup on CompuGroup in the beginning of August. Thank you.